Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This spring, the Billy Sutton Leadership Institute announced its inaugural group of fellows. The 13-member class represents a wide range of backgrounds from agriculture to healthcare, education, business, corrections, and more. The Billy Sutton Leadership Institute is a public service and community-engaged leadership training program developed by our next guest, former state senator and gubernatorial candidate Billy Sutton. Billy Sutton, welcome back to In the Moment. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
So the last time we talked, it was sort of the, you know, the beginning stages of people sending in applications, and you sure got a big response, didn't you?
Oh, man. We were... It was amazing, actually. You know, I wasn't sure what to expect. I knew there was interest, but we had right at 100 applicants in a two-week time period, which is just incredible. So we were pretty overwhelmed by the response, and we could have taken a lot of those people into the program. We ended up taking 13, and just some really incredible individuals that are participating.
So what did that, I mean, that told you in one way that you had created something that people were interested in, but did it tell you more about what the thirst was, or what the, you know, what resonated with people that so many people in such a short period of time would reach out and apply and go through the work of putting together an application?
Yeah, I think there's probably a number of things. I think, for the most part, I think a lot of them kind of appreciated the leadership style that I took throughout my campaign in the governor's race, and the importance of leaders that are going to work to bring people together, not seek to divide. And that I think is the underlying frustration in politics today, is that leaders aren't seeking to bring people together. They're seeking to divide us. And we have to remember that we have more in common than not, especially as South Dakotans. Yeah. And so that's kind of the overarching theme of what I heard, is that people were looking for a different leadership style, and they appreciated what we had attempted to achieve and wanted to be a part of that moving forward.
How did you hone that personally? If, you know, somebody is sitting with you, you know, across the table at the Leadership Institute and says, you know, I want to be like that, but it's hard because people say such difficult things, and how do I continue to engage in a way that brings people together? What would your response be?
I think it goes way farther back than my involvement in politics, to be honest. I think it goes back to how I was raised. You know, we grew up on our family ranch, and you worked hard until the job got done. You never quit. You never gave up. You were going to have disagreements, even as a family, but you were still trying to accomplish this, you know, the same goals. And I was taught at a very young age that you are respectful to people. You listen to what they have to say. You don't always agree with them, but, you know, we're all people. We all have our opinions, and we all have to work together to accomplish big things. And so that was instilled in me at a very young age, and I think that's probably one of the reasons I was successful in the legislature, is because I didn't write anybody off. Everybody has value. Everybody has, you know, nobody has a monopoly on good ideas. No one party has a monopoly on good ideas. And so we need to hear each other out and try to find where we can find common ground and find compromise. And that's really what it's all about. And that's really integral into being a successful leader. You know, you need to be consistent in that. You need to be accountable, and you need to take action. And that's what I've tried to do through my time in politics and in work and in life in general.
This Leadership Institute is a continuation of that action. Did you find that you attracted this first cohort of people who were interested in their own ways in taking action as well?
Well, that was really one of the base requirements of participating in the program, is that if you're gonna participate, you're gonna have to put together a community engagement plan, and you're gonna have to take action on that. And that's why we check in monthly to hold our fellows accountable and to make sure that they're following through with what they said they were gonna do. Because leadership, you know, there's no magic, you know, solution, or, you know, you can't just wave a magic wand to say, oh, you know, here's the answer to being a good leader. No, there's a number of things, and it's about being accountable for your actions. It's about taking action, and it's about being consistent in that action. And so that's what we really wanted to instill, and that's one thing I think that sets this leadership program apart from other ones that you look at is, you know, we require you to actually do something, to get something done. And I think that's really important for us all to realize is that change doesn't happen overnight, and it takes hard work.
What sort of themes are you seeing? And well, tell me where you at. Where are you at in this process? Are you how many months in?
Yeah, so we had our first leadership retreat a couple months ago, and then we've just completed one of our check-ins actually this month. And there's a number of community engagement plans that our fellows have taken on, you know, revolving around anything from healthcare to, you know, focusing on even suicide prevention and mental health. You know, needs-based scholarship advocacy is one of them that one of our members picked up on, and that kind of came from discussions throughout our campaign and things like that. You know, a Women's Day of Service is another one. So, I mean, there's a broad spectrum, but it's really neat to see how big of an impact these people are going to have in their communities already. They're already, well on their way to making an impact, and it's just fun to watch.
Do you kind of sit back at some point and allow yourself to be overwhelmed by the potential? Talk a little bit about just watching it. I mean, you're guiding it and you're helping, but you also get to have a front row seat.
Well, that to me is probably their most rewarding part, is that I'm getting a big benefit out of this as well, to the degree that I get to meet these just incredibly talented individuals from South Dakota, and there's so many more out there. You know, I think we have the greatest state in the nation because of our people. They're hard workers. They are committed to their communities, and they love our state. They love their communities, and so it's fun to just take it all in and realize that, wow, there's just a lot of really great people here. We knew that. We've known that for a long time. Got a front row seat to that throughout the campaign, and then we get a front row seat to it here as well. And so it's just really exciting to see the impact that they are making, that they'll continue to make in the future by, you know, helping them with the tools that they need to be successful, and just seeing them really grab hold of these projects and make an impact in their community.
One of the things it seems you were known for that, you know, I personally always thought you were really good at is sort of breaking down something that can feel overwhelming, or even, you know, some of the topics that you just brought up can almost lead people to despair or hopelessness. Walk us a little bit through your process of how you take these big issues that are complex but can seem unapproachable and say, let's get started. Do you have a process for that?
I don't know. I think I got that from my mom. she is amazing at that. She has always been able to multitask well and take on some of the biggest issues and break it down. You know, I think I learned a lot about that actually even through my injury. You know, back in 2007, a lot of people know the story, but I had a horse flip over on me in the chute and was paralyzed from the waist down. I mean, talk about a devastating event at the time, you know, that I had my whole life planned out. You know, I was going to rodeo forever.
Right.
And it was incredibly overwhelming, but I just had to go back to the basics that, you know, I had faith that God had a plan. I took one day at a time from that point on, and that, I think, is what we all need to do. You know, you can get to planning too far in the future and forget about today. And I think that's the important thing, is to take one thing at a time, one day at a time, and with hard work and perseverance, you know, eventually you're going to get there. And that's what I've tried to do as a leader in the legislature. That's what I've tried to do since and throughout the governor's race as well. So that's really my process, I guess, is just to focus on today.
Yeah. Were there things that your mom, did she say that sort of thing to you? Or is it the actions that she took that were sort of one day at a time actions? You're just watching her. Did she say, Billy, you know, one day at a time, honey. We'll get through this together.
Yeah, I think what I remember...
That's the mother in me coming out right there, like just...
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, she definitely did. And both my mom and dad were so focused on the value of hard work.
Yeah.
You know, you do your best every day. And that's something that rodeo really instilled in me as well, is that if you don't work your hardest every day, you're not going to be consistent in your performance. You know, as a rodeo athlete, if I didn't stick to the basics and work hard every day, I wasn't going to win consistently. And that was instilled in me at a very young age as well. And so, you know, as long as you continue to work hard every day and focus on the end goal, but more than anything, focus on today, that's where it's at. And then your attitude is a huge part of it. You know, I can still remember Mom always saying, you know, it's 90% about your attitude. Mm-hmm. And that's so true. You know, if to get through tough times, you have to be positive and you have to, you know, reset yourself and focus on what you're facing today.
As you talk to the cohorts or the class of the Billy Sutton Leadership Institute, we are living in a time when it's just, you know, a tweet can change the conversation of the day. And everybody, and often, you know, what comes out in a tweet might be incredibly negative or cause people to take, you know, polar opposite sides of some hot button issue. How do you reset from that negativity to something that's useful, but also does not ignore or minimize things that are going on in the world?
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of it is that, I mean, you have to shrug off some of the negative stuff, and you have to try to find good in everything. That can be really hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to find good in people, and I think you have to give people the benefit of the doubt a lot, that even if they do or say things that you know, might be viewed as really negative, you have to shrug that off, and you have to find positive things to focus on. You have to find the good in people. And that's what I really tried to do in the legislature. I mean, there were a lot of people I disagreed with on a number of issues, but I always tried to find the things that I could work with them on. You know, where do we agree? What's the right thing to do? And how do we find common ground on that? And that's something I'm trying to instill in our fellows as well, is to say, look, you know, you're going to run into challenges with these projects that you're working on. You're going to run into people that are naysayers. You're going to run into people that say, yeah, this can't be done. But if you believe in it enough and if you work hard enough, you can accomplish anything. And, you know, find common ground with people and figure out how to get things done.
Yeah, and keep serving. Never lose your heart for service.
That's incredibly important in a time when there's a lot of frustration in politics. There's a lot of frustration in our communities. But you have to remember that it's the importance of public service and putting others before yourself. That's something that my parents instilled in me as well, is that you need to lend a helping hand to those people that need a hand up, and do your best to serve. You know, my family has a pretty long history of public service, going back to my Grandpa Billy and my Grandma Ruth, and just a lot of people, even on my wife Kelsey's side of her family, have served the public in a number of different ways, and she's continued to do that as well. And my wife Kelsey is somebody that I actually look up to as a community leader and somebody that serves the public in a really effective way. You know, she was
we'll have to have Kelsey on next. We haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I think
all right.
She would love to be on there. She would love to be on, because she was the first woman elected to Gregory County Commission in history.
Yeah.
She's worked on just a number of community projects from, you know,
Billy,
fitness center. So
we got to let you go. Thank you so
yep.
much. We look forward to talking to you next time about the Billy Sutton Leadership Institute. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.